Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Akila Jedi Podcast. I am your host, the Artificial Dragon.
I'm your co-host, Darth Celine.
And welcome to episode 77 of the podcast, everybody. With each episode we do, we are that much closer to our 100th episode.
100th?
Yeah, our 100th, yes, episode.
Yep.
Pronunciation aside, Hannah, it is quite the monumentous occasion, but speaking on monumentous occasions, at the time of this recording, we are up to 927 subscribers right now.
Yep.
So we are less than 80 subs away until we hit our 1K goal. I wonder which one we'll meet first, the 1K goal or our 100th episode?
We'll see.
We shall see. I know the Apple Off episode has been gaining a fair amount of traction recently, so that's always fun.
You just a fair amount of traction recently. You uploaded it today, and it's at 140 views as of now, as of this recording.
Yeah, that is very true. It's actually the second most viewed video within the past couple of days compared to the recent videos that we've been making. But nice. Potato, potato. But yes, for anyone that wants to support us, we have a Patreon, which is on patreon.com/canmail. Once again, that's patreon.com/canmail. You don't need to join us if you want to join the Discord server. We do have a small little community in the process, in the making, more accurately, where we talk about general Star Wars lore, share memes, and talk about everyday occasions or complain about work like me and Hannah do every once in a while. And if you want a specific episode topic or character that you want me and my co-host to cover, you could contribute to the mid-tier amount, which is the Smugglers, $5, or the highest tier amount, Counselor, which is $10. You'll get exclusive voting rights, put forward your ideas in the secret Discord channel that only you can view, and we have a voting episode once per month, and yeah, hopefully you'll be able to get your topic/character voted. Abeloff was the most recent one.
Yep.
By Mr. Tristan A. Shout out to you, man. But for this month's Patreon art piece, which is very serendipitous because if anybody saw the title of this episode, it is on the lovely Imperial officer who is trying her best to get you to join the side of the Empire to kill rebel scum.
I think the Emperor needs a new brawl.
The officer definitely needs a new bra. The Emperor needs to pass along standard issue ones for the lovely ladies out there. And the reference model for this particular Patreon art piece is the cosplayer Candy Ball. Thank you once again for providing yourself as the reference for the artist. Once again, the artist did an amazing job on her.
Yep.
But with that aside, I'm going to do a shout out to all the highest tier patrons. We have Alan Lee, Y Wolves, Dr. Emboss, Gobez, Lee Fott, Milo, Train Boy, and Tristan H. Thank you, everybody, so much for supporting us since near the inception of our podcast. And I hope that we continue to make content like this in the near future.
Support Celine's Cantina.
Indeed. Support Celine's Cantina. Have you been working on that pile of questions that you've been having earlier?
No.
Just a little bit hard on your side right now?
Yes.
Creative blog and all that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's always a struggle, but once again, support Celine's Cantina. Don't worry, she will get around to your questions. It's just a little bit of personal struggles on our side.
I'm going through some shit right now, so.
Fair enough, Hannah. But with that out of the way, I'm sure everybody, including you, knows what today's episode is going to be about.
You're going to be talking about Vitiate Sith Empire.
Yes, Vitiate Sith Empire. Probably one of the many examples of a kind of a copy and paste Galactic Empire, if I'm going to be completely honest, Hannah.
Okay, fair. Galactic Empire was first, but in the timeline, time-wise.
The timeline, time-wise.
Vitiate Sith Empire came first. So
that
me.
Is true. Well, then again, I say that. But it's leagues better than motherfucking the First Order from the sequel trilogy.
Yes, yes it is. Anything is better than the First Order.
You know, that is going to have to be a faction we will eventually have to cover, Hannah.
No!
But with that aside, we are going to be focusing on your personal favorite faction, because I know how much of an Empire simp you are.
Yes, not just the Empire.
Yeah, I know.
But specifically, the Sith Empire.
Yeah, the Sith Empire. There's a lot of different names that I've seen thrown around, like the True Sith, or simply the Empire. I've also seen several other examples, the Sith Empire, the True Sith, so on and so forth, but simply the Empire is the most recognizable one.
Sith Empire.
But, yeah, you know a little bit about its history, but how deeply do you know about your Sith Empire's history, Hannah?
Well, refer back to one of our most popular episodes,
uh-huh.
Legacy of the Sith, Part 1.
Yep.
No, not Legacy of the Sith.
Tragedy of the Sith, yeah.
Yes, the Tragedy of the Sith. Going back to the time of Naga Sadow and Ludo Kresh.
Yep.
I know that.
Yep, it goes back that far, Hannah.
Yes.
But before I dive into the episode, I'm a little bit curious of why you love the Sith Empire out of the other factions.
Everyone just has what they like. I mean, I'm not that big of a fan of the clones. The Jedi are okay.
That's fair, yeah.
I like the Sith as you like the Separatists.
Yeah, I am a little...
Androids.
Yes. I see that with the highest amount of irony, I'm a little bit of a separatist simp. But yes, the Sith Empire, I mean, like I said before, I see them as copy and paste empire. But not to say that they aren't unoriginal. It's just a lot of design elements that are resonating with the Sith Empire.
Yeah, true. It's almost like, I kind of like the feudalism.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Ish kind of vibe it has, like with the Sith hierarchy and everything.
Yeah, the Sith are at the top, and the non-Force sensitives are at the very, well, I wouldn't say the very bottom, that would be the slaves in all honesty, kind of in the middle there.
But it's like a hierarchy, not just the Sith, but lords, apprentices,
yeah,
you know?
That is true. Very, almost like feudal Japan, sort of.
Yeah, almost.
Or medieval Europe,
it's
if you want
to go that
far.
It's that fantasy vibe, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. Compared to a Star Trek-style democracy like the Republic, it is much more fantasy-oriented.
Yes, that's what I like about it.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I could see that now. Especially since you and I are huge D&D fanboys and girls.
Yep.
But anyway, let me give you a nice little quote from a particular Sith character about the Sith Empire. I fight because that is what I was made to do, and the Empire is the instrument through which I realize my purpose. The Empire is war made manifest. That is why it is perfect.
Who said that?
Malgus.
I was going to guess Malgus, but I also thought, was that Scourge?
That
was Malgus.
Yeah, it was Malgus. One fucking day, Hannah, we're going to have to do an episode about Malgus because he's a whole other can of worms.
Oh my god, he needs to fucking die.
Well, he's pretty much taking the place of Vitiate at this point in SWTOR, isn't he?
Yeah. Right now, yes.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I mean...
And fuck you, Shay Vizsla, for breaking his ass out.
Shay Vizsla. Whoa, spoilers there, but goddamn.
You know they team up in the siege against the Jedi Temple.
That is also true. By the way, best motherfucking trailer ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember seeing that trailer when it first came out, and I was just flabbergasted, like, woo!
the thing I like about that, it shows the might of the Sith Empire.
Yeah.
With no words.
Yeah, that is true.
They sacked Coruscant and destroyed the Jedi Temple.
Yeah, that is kind of a very badass little scene and example of the power of a strength of the Sith Empire.
Yes.
But with us simping on the Sith Empire side, let me go ahead and do a little overview on the exact history of the Sith Empire. Of course, we've covered a good amount of it in previous episodes, like the Vitiate episode, the Dark Council episode, that sort of thing.
Even the Sith episode.
Yeah, a little bit of a Sith episode too. But we're going to go more into the nitty-gritty of the Sith Empire as a whole, and its non-Force-sensitive founders, that sort of thing.
There's a lot the Sith don't run on just the Force.
Yeah.
Society wouldn't work like that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to dive deeper into actually how the Sith Empire runs as a society.
Yeah, exactly. So let's see. Of course, as you and I both know, the Sith Empire was created from the fleet of exiles led by, well, Darth Vitiate. Very, very obvious.
Yep.
And they were basically the remaining Force, the remaining citizens and refugees from Korriban when the Jedi Order and the Republic decided to go genocide on their ass and they had to give a fuck out of Dodge.
Yep.
One of the few times that the Republic were the legit bad guys in their point of view.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically they went on a crusade. I wouldn't say a crusade, more like an exodus across the stars, or more specifically the unknown region,
mm-hmm.
where Vitiate basically led them astray numerous times for like a straight up decade. Basically it was his way of making sure that the older followers kind of died off and the newer followers kind of are indoctrinated into his teachings and all that.
Yeah.
And then they would eventually find the lost Sith colony of Dromon Kaas, which has been taken over by wildlife. So, you know, they had
it's a big-ass jungle.
Yeah, it's a big-ass jungle. And they had to creep their way from the ground up, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And Vitiate's like, okay, I have the Dark Council. These guys will run the government. I'm going to go in my basement. Peace.
It's like, I gotta go do basement
stuff. I gotta do basement stuff. Peace. But, but from that day forward, of course, we do have the Dark Council and the members of the Sith, very obviously. But there's the non-Sith, non-Force-sensitive population that, does the main work for the Empire.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, there's a shit ton of humans in the Empire, even though it's mainly Sith or the Masasi, their slave race and all that.
Well, yeah, but if it isn't obvious when you make an alien character,
mm-hmm.
You are treated to some xenophobia.
Yeah, yeah.
It really gives you the alien experience.
Yeah, unfortunately, but yeah.
And it's not just with, like, Harkin on Korriban.
Mm-hmm.
It's also with the Imperial agent.
Yeah.
When you first show up at headquarters, they're like, oh, we don't usually recruit aliens.
Usually.
Like, what do you have against aliens?
Yeah, I think I remember from the, okay, so for the Sith agent anyway, there's like a cipher who's a Duros, and he's like, it's so good to find a fellow alien among the ranks of the Empire.
I don't think he was a cipher. I think he was a, He worked for Imperial Intelligence. I don't think he had, like, a minor or a cipher title, though.
Maybe
he was just a Duros.
Yeah, he was just a Duros, and he was saying,
I think he was a technician.
Yeah, he was a technician, but, yeah, it's, yeah, the Sith Empire, not really pro-alien.
Yeah, they're not pro-alien.
No. But in the early days of the Empire, there would be this, so it goes more into depth in, like, this separate YouTube series where it talks about the history of a Sith from the, you know who Gaz Jernal is, right?
Nosterol?
Yeah.
Master Nosterol.
It's been a
Jedi.
It's been a good while since I pronounced his name, but he's a Keldor, who is a Jedi historian.
I just said that.
Yeah. Fun fact, he is the narrator for this entire little side YouTube series that recounts the history of a Sith leading up to the Great Galactic War and all of that.
Yeah. Yes, and Legacy of the Sith, which is an expansion in SWTOR, where it's a very, very small expansion. The Jedi have returned to Ossus after one of the fucking many purges.
Yeah.
And Nos Dural is running a colony there of survivors. Yep.
Very, very appropriate for a Keldor like him.
But there's a dependent choice on if you save him or if you kill him.
Oh, no.
And of course, Theron reacts accordingly.
Of course. But from his recounting of the history of a Sith, there would be this one influential figure among the non-Force-sensitive populace of the Sith Empire. And his name is Odily Vakin. You might heard of his name every once in a while in-game, but I'll send you a quick picture of what the man looked like.
Never heard of this guy.
Okay. He's kind of a very important figure within the Sith Empire. Think of him as, like, the Alexander the Great of the Sith Empire. Like, so basically he's the guy who reformed and created the Sith, the Imperial military. Like, he's the guy who formulated the training sequences, the training exercises, the discipline for the Sith troops and all that. He was the one that built the entire Imperial military from the ground up. And with his new disciplined army, with permission from the Dark Council, of course, he was able to command his forces to retake all of Dromund Kaas, like clear away the forest, kill all the crazy beasts that roam around there. He's kind of a hardcore motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't think, it might be in a codex part, but the codex is fucking long.
This guy, he was one of the generations that grew up within the Exile Fleet. Like, he was like a navigation officer, he was a respected pilot, and his reputation grew to the point where the Dark Council saw him like, goddamn, this guy is very influential and very charismatic. We'll let you create our Imperial military. And he did. In fact, he was so goddamn badass. Let me see where I... There were some records that recall Odily personally killing a rapid Tarantatok on the very site where eventually the Imperial Citadel itself would be created.
Hmm.
So this guy going up against a Tarantatok, which normally takes legions of Force Sensitives to kill, is pretty goddamn impressive.
You fight one several times in a lot of games.
Well, okay. In game, yes, they're kind of pushovers, but in lore, they're not exactly pushovers.
Fair enough. I mean, you fight a shit ton of them as the Exile and as Revan.
And as a non-Force-sensitive person like that, killing a beast like that.
That's a feat.
It is a very good feat. And slowly, his reputation grew more and more, which eventually gave him greater ambitions to go beyond Dromund Kaas. And he would also create the foundations of the Imperial Navy.
Okay.
So this guy was just going miles with his ambition, or for the expansion of the Sith Empire. He would gather a majority of his army to assist with gathering mining materials, engineers to foresee the construction of a first shipyard of the Sith Empire, along with a Sith Empire's first ever Star Destroyers. He was so influential that he was basically the first ever officer of the Imperial military, and he was given the honorary title of Grand Moff. The very first Grand Moff.
That's cool.
Yeah, so this guy is going places, and he's kind of a legendary figure within the Sith Empire. However, unfortunately, he would never live to see the completion of his brainchild when he was killed aboard the bridge of a prototype Star Destroyer when they were conquering nearby alien civilizations. However, many of the Empire would finally remember Vakin, and the Imperial military, he was so goddamn influential that the Imperial military to this figurative day still uses his training exercises and all that.
Cool.
Yeah. And there's even a eternally burning flame within the forest of Dromund-Kaas called Viken's Torch, which is lit to symbolize the Empire's undying spirit and dedication.
That's fucking cool.
It is, isn't it? Just the more fucking eternal flame of the Sith Empire is so fucking cool.
That is cool.
It's such a cool concept. But anyway, aside from that dude, I'll go through a couple of notable moments in the history of the Sith Empire. Like, the Dark Temple would be discovered, you know, that oopy spoopy temple that's full of Force ghosts and everything. But, of course, we kind of covered this in the Dark Council episode, where, once again, the non-Force-sensitive members of the Sith Empire come into play through the founding of the Imperial Reclamation Service.
I love the Imperial Reclamation Service.
Yeah, one of the things I do like about the Sith Empire is that even though it's dominated purely by Force-sensitives, they do give their non-Force-sensitive members a chance of a spotlight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you, even in, like, especially in the Sith Inquisitor storyline, because, mm-hmm. you know, secrets, artifacts, mm-hmm. mine, num 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 num. But, like, you work with the Imperial Reclamation Service on Tatooine, because there's a whole side story, there's a whole planet arc on the Imperial side.
Yep.
But you literally have a companion who works for, who's a lieutenant in the Imperial Reclamation Service.
Oh, yeah.
What's Talos.
Okay.
Talos Drellick.
Now I remember. I was about to ask if it's Dog, but no, that's a Republic companion character.
That's the Jedi Knight character.
Yeah. But one of the Sith, I wouldn't say influential Sith, because he's kind of a black mark in the history of the Sith Empire. You might have to correct me on the pronunciation of his name. Kelith Ur. Kelith Ur, yeah.
Yeah, Kelith Ur.
Kelith Ur. Okay, I was saying it correctly. Yeah, the one who preached the light side and everything.
Yeah.
Kind of one of the few Sith that caught the personal attention of the Emperor. He's like, okay, that's going to be... That's
he's
gonna
like,
be...
no, you're going bye-bye in a vault.
He's all like, no, can't have that. Die.
Yep. He got locked up in a vault, and when you have to reseal it, he says, he begs you, it's like, please show my teachings to the other Sith. Yep. And the dark side is, no, I won't. And the light side is, okay, sure.
Yeah, that's one of the first side quests I would always go upon when I go to the Dark Temple. It's like, ooh, nice, a light side Sith. That's cool.
Yeah,
let's go.
That is pretty cool. It's a good example of a light side Sith.
Exactly. And then, of course,
there are not a lot in the game.
No, there are not. But then, of course, we know the multiple rebellions that happened in the Dark Council, or by the Dark Council. We covered those in the Dark Council episode.
Yep.
So I'll glance over it a little bit.
Go watch that episode.
It's such a great episode. But it's not to say that the Sith Empire wasn't influencing the wider galaxy while they were slowly conquering their part of the galaxy. Like Vitiate, he would send like spies and stuff to influence the galaxy in small ways. But then one of his spies came across a certain individual who had the bright idea of starting a crusade against the Republic. You may know him as Mandalore the Ultimate.
Oh.
Yeah, there was a Sith spy that went up to Mandalore the Ultimate and was like, hey, dude, you want to go conquer the Republic? Yeah, but I'm not sure if we would win. Well, why not? Let me show you the future.
Oh, that's how the Mandalorians ended up allied with the Sith.
Pretty much. I mean, we'll go more into that when we eventually do the Mandalorian episode, whenever that will be. But this is kind of one of the times that Vitiate was playing chess with a wider galaxy.
I'm going to say, don't make me point at the sign.
don't make me point at the sign. I'm speaking to a particular patron. You know who you are.
Eventually.
But yeah, this is one of the times where Vitiate is just playing chess with his pawns, and Mandalore the Ultimate was one of the pawns that he duped into going on a crusade against the Republic. Number one, to test the Republic's resolve,
mm-hmm.
and number one and number two, see if he could create more chaos and cause more Jedi to join the dark side, that sort of thing. And he did, with a certain Revan and Malak.
Yep.
And we kind of know the rest. Revan...
watch the Revan episode.
Yeah, Revan goes to Droman Kos with Malak. Vitiate brainwashes them, sends them off to find the Star Forge. Yeah, the Star Forge. So he's all like, yeah, we're slowly expanding. Now I need my own little infinite military and all of that stuff. Didn't work the way he was thinking. He's like, oh, whatever.
It didn't work out at all.
It didn't work out at all, no. Because I think Vitiate didn't make that a huge deal for him. Because he had the Eternal Fleet that he eventually found or some shit.
That was a long-ass time. Because everybody, keep in mind, going back to the Vitiate episode.
Yeah.
He's fucking ancient.
Yeah.
He's older than dirt. He's old as shit.
Yeah, he is old as fuck.
She's older than dirt.
That's putting it mildly, Hannah.
Like, one of the first original Sith purebloods. His dad was a Sith pureblood.
But yeah, another thing that one of the other operations that's kind of dived into in the YouTube series that I mentioned earlier, Vitiate would kind of influence the Jedi Order in more subtle ways. Like, he would have spies, an entire family of spies, infiltrate the Jedi Order itself.
Yep.
Like, entire generations of notable Jedi, high and mighty Jedi Knights, the purest good of all of the Jedi, just turn out to be undercover Sith spies.
It's not just Vitiate who has spies either. Darth Barriss does, too.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, what the fuck is up with Sith having their spies over the place?
Secrets.
Sus!
Secret. I got a secret.
Like, for one, one notable spy of his is this Jedi by the name of Beriel Ovar, who was a prestigious Jedi master and scholar who had an apprentice, a Nautilan named Gant.
Okay.
And one day, they decide to go on a mission to Yavin 4 itself, specifically to find the tomb of Naga Siddal.
Oh, great. That's a great idea.
Yeah, great idea. Long story short, they met with a surviving Masasi at the temple. And long story short, the Jedi Master got separated from his Nautilan Padawan. And he told the Jedi Council, like, oh, he died in battle. I managed to barely escape with my life, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years later, however, the Nautilan Jedi returned. But forever changed, because he was possessed by the spirit of Naga Siddal.
Oh, shit.
There's actually a picture of the Nautilan fighting his master, or I should more accurately say, Naga Siddal attempting to kill his Jedi.
Let me see. Them tentacles be dog.
Yeah.
That's cool, though.
It is pretty cool. And very obviously, the Jedi Master comes out on top, slays the Nautilan Padawan along with Naga Siddal's spear, which is, like, banished back to Yavin 4 or whatever.
He's like, no!
No!
And he gets sucked back to his temple.
He's like, damn you! More fucking ghost busted his ass. But anyway, after...
Space Ghostbusters!
But anyway, after that whole affair, Beriel came out victorious and the Jedi Council praised him for his efforts for defeating Naga Siddal, or at least the spirit of Naga Siddal possessing his Padawan. Mm-hmm. And he's like, thank you very much. And then in the modern era, which is the Galactic Civil War.
So Swator era.
Yeah, the Swator era. Guess Jernal was going through the archives, and then he's all like, hold on a fucking second. Because he was like
Wait a fucking minute.
Because he's like fact-checking this shit. Because he's a historian, so he loves connecting the dots between the Sith Empire and all the other affairs going on.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute? Because he was looking back at the archives, and he's like, hang on a second. Why would the spirit of Naga Siddal, of all people, retaliate against this Jedi Master? That doesn't make any sense. And then he goes more into his background, like, oh, That explains it. He's from a family of Sith spies. So, like, hundreds of years. What's that more of a fucking meme? For centuries, my machinations have been laid undetected for years.
I guess. I don't know.
But no, it's kind of funny. It's like, goddamn, the Sith Empire is the motherfucking cloak and dagger scariest superpower out there.
No shit.
It's like the
motherfucking... That's why I like the Sith. It's I like love the cloak and dagger shit.
It's like the motherfucking KGB shit going on over here. Very Cold War vibes that I love with the Sith Empire as well.
Yeah, I like that too. It reminds me kind of like the Imperial Agent storyline, all of that. James Bond, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., you know, spy movies. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, I do love me a good spy story, Hannah. And that, didn't you say that the Imperial Agent story was the best?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at any tier rank from anybody who has played the games, or at least the all eight storylines, Imperial Agent is the fucking best.
It is absolutely.
I'm not going to go into why. It's just that good.
It is so good, Hannah. But anyway, so, you know, it keeps going on, and eventually we lead up to the opening conflicts of a Great Galactic War, which is the main war that preceded Swtor, and then the Cold War is the war that follows it. I want to say war, but...
It's not the hyperspace war, is it?
No, the Great Hyperspace War is with Naga Sadow, which is like several centuries ago.
Okay.
But the Great Galactic War is the main war between the Republic and the Sith Empire, blah, blah, blah. So, leading up to the invasion of the Republic, because, you know, they were biding their time for a good amount. I think like 1,000 years has passed since the founding of the Sith Empire. They were just preparing, and... One of the first steps was finding staging grounds within the Outer Rim. Specifically, they were setting up puppet governments on the worlds of Belican, Serampo, and Ruin, which is specifically in the Tengio Arm region in the Outer Rim. I know it's much of this is going over your head, but it's basically kind of like the D-landing operation in World War II, that sort of thing.
D-Day.
D-Day operation, that's what I meant. But here is where this is essentially where the Sith Empire made their first appearance to the galaxy, which is in the Outer Rim area over here.
Okay. Okay.
But finally, in the year 3,681 years before the Battle of Yavin, the Empire would reveal themselves to the wider galaxy for the very first time. Like, there was like a Republic fleet, and they were like, what the fuck is... Because they had no idea what this motherfucking fleet is. They're new, entirely new ships, unidentified
huge
to them.
Huge-ass Star Destroyers, like, what the fuck is that?
And they decided, okay... This might be a new alien civilization. Let's send an envoy to, you know, speak negotiations and all that.
Let's go check it out.
Yeah, like in the series that I was telling you about, it's one of the first moments that the Republic made contact with the Sith Empire. They send the envoy, and then it was under attack, and the distress, you know, the live feed of what's happening was displayed back to the Republic. And it just showed an entire view of his Sith fleet. And it was purposely left alive just as a huge message that the Sith have returned. And then the diplomatic shuttle got blown to smithereens.
Oh, shit.
And then not too long after that, cue the trailer where the Sith Empire arrive on Korriban.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool trailer. All of the Swtor trailers are pretty dope as hell.
I mean, you see several very significant characters in both in the game and just galactic history. Satele Shan's master.
Yep.
Was it Kyle Sandarek or
no? Kyle Sandarach, I think. It's been a good while
you
since
can't
I
can't pronounce anything for shit.
Shut up. But no. The Zabrak Jedi. I know his name. It's been a good while since I
Nico Okar. He's there too.
Yep.
And Jace Malcolm.
Yep.
And Malgus.
Obviously Malgus and his Sith Matcher, which he just offed immediately. Yep. But no, I just love those trailers. I could watch them all day.
The way you see Korriban from the, like, the viewport in the hangar, it's like,
welcome home, master.
That's so cool.
That is so cool, yeah.
And that was over 10 years ago.
It is so impressive how good that animation is, even to this day.
Yeah.
I want to, please, I want to see more of that sort of shit nowadays.
I'd love to see that. I would take that kind of animation over, like, average CGI.
That is true. Yeah, it would be awesome to have a entire Star Wars film with just that animation alone.
And, like, the fight between Malgus and Satele on Alderaan. Mm-hmm,
yep.
Chef's kiss.
All over the place. Enough about us simping on the trailers and all that shit. As I mentioned before, this basically began the Great Galactic War, which lasted 28 years.
Yep.
Just to give you a perspective, the Clone Wars lasted 3 years.
Yep.
So you could imagine how much carnage that would do.
How do you think all of the player characters feel at the end of this fucking war?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel terrible for the Republic trooper.
Yeah, that is very true. As motherfucking Satele Shan has been put through the ringer throughout his entire shit.
But still remains the ideal Jedi.
Exactly. Even though she and the Jedi Order were exiled from Coruscant after that.
Well, she still kept her ways of the Jedi.
Yeah, that is very true. And then after the Treaty of Coruscant, which is the trailer, the result of that trailer, the very first SWTOR trailer, basically the war ended in favor of the Sith. But instead of, like, taking Coruscant for themselves, it was basically a case of splitting the galaxy into two. One for the Sith and the other for the Republic.
Yeah, they just split the galaxy in half.
Yeah, and I will eventually talk about this in Malgus's episode, but it was initially thought that Coruscant would be taken as, like, the new capital of the Sith Empire or something like that. But Malgus, when he heard that the Dark Council were negotiating and were like, oh, yeah, we'll give Coruscant back, don't worry. It served its purpose as a hostage, so yeah, you could have it back. And Malgus is like, Are you fucking serious? I went through this elaborate plan to crash a motherfucking shuttle through the Jedi Temple and you're just gonna give it back to our enemy?
Yeah, I'd be pissed too. It's like, I did all that work and you give it back?
Yeah, a lot of complicated bureaucracy going on with the Sith side as well.
Yeah, it makes sense. Someone needs to make a t-shirt saying Malgus was right.
Okay, that is actually a very ingenious idea. God damn.
At least his quote-unquote empire actually accepted aliens.
That is very true, yeah. The Chad Malgus. The Virgin Vitiate.
If Malgus would stop being a cockweasel.
And just keep coming back from the dead numerous times, yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, and then we kind of know the rest of the history of the Sith Empire. Like, it goes into the Cold War, kind of teams up with, well, it resumes hostilities with the Republic a couple of times. Briefly teamed them up when Revan, and then eventually the Eternal Empire came up, and then went back to war against the Republic again under Empress Ascena. Still a pretty good character,
Empress
I might add.
Empress Ascena and or, depending on choice, Emperor
Vauron?
Vauron.
Yeah, there we go. See, I can remember names. Yes.
Emperor Vauron. Dependent on choice, of course.
But yeah, but essentially, basically, the Sith Empire is just extinct at this point, unfortunately. As a lot of great empires do.
Bummer. They curb stomp the Empire, but the Empire somehow curb stomp them right back.
Yeah. Well, it went down. It actually put up a pretty good fight before it got erased from history.
Of course it did.
But speaking of that, you remember our good old friend?
The Book of the Sith.
The Book of the Sith, and there is actually an entry from Malgus's personal journal.
Nice.
Yeah, so
it's been a while since I've read this. So.
Yeah. Let me see if I could find some Nodewile entries, because there are actually some nice little notes. Even though the Sith Empire has been around for like 3,000 years, which is like a blink compared to the entirety of the Galactic Republic's existence, yeah. was like 25,000 years.
Yeah.
Which is kind of ridiculous to think about. But regardless, there's some very obvious notes here. Like, a couple of nice notes from Palpatine. Here's his quote about the Harrower class Star Destroyers, which is the Sith Empire Star Destroyers.
The Harrower,
yeah. Imperial Star Destroyers are similar to Harrowers and shall be my tools of discipline among the rebellious systems of the Rim. So it's very obvious that the Imperial Star Destroyers took inspiration from the old Sith Empire Star Destroyers.
Yes, they did.
And let me see if I could find a interesting input from Darth Vader on Malgus himself. Let's see.
If they weren't so full of hate, I'd picture Malgus and Vader being bros.
Yeah.
They're both assholes.
Yeah. Let's see. It is. Pause. Oh, here we go. This is kind of an interesting one. Sorry, I was trying to read Vader's handwriting. It's kind of harder than it looks. It is true there is honor in one-on-one combat. I grow tired of backstabbing of Imperial bureaucrats.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing with Malgus as well. He's more of a martial fighter, but he always has to deal with the constant backstabbing of his fellow Sith and subordinates.
And, you know, the Dark Council.
Yeah.
Because they're always trying to fucking kill each other.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing with any Sith Empire and the nature of a Sith in general. There's always going to be somebody vying for your position.
Except in the case of Darth Maar.
Yeah. Yeah, Maar's just an upright Chad with that.
Yeah, we love Darth Maar here.
Yeah, yeah. In this podcast, we are all Darth Maar simps.
Well, not only that.
Go on.
I will forever proclaim Maar as the true Emperor of the Sith.
That is true. He is all, as you like to say, he's an emperor in all but name. Yeah. But let me see if I could find...
Definitely a better emperor than fucking Vishy.
Not wrong there, Hannah. Not wrong there. Let's see, the Jedi Temple. Let me see, it might be in the beginning here. Oh yeah, there's a nice little entry on Malgus' love interest, which he calls my Alina.
Yep, Alina Daru.
Alina Daru. Goddamn, Vader. Attachment such as this leads to loss and tragedy. I have tried to... learn more, but the journals of Darth Malgus has not revealed the fate of his secret lover.
Everyone knows what happened. It's just like, just looking at Vader, that smug Willy Wonka smirk. Just take a guess what happened, Annie.
God damn.
Remind you someone, bitch!
Yeah, there's the obvious connection between Malgus and Vader there, aside from their appearance. They're secret lovers and all of that stuff.
And killing them.
Yeah, exactly. And Vader's like, I wonder what happened to a secret lover. Gee, I wonder why! But no, I just love those little bit of entries for connections between the past and the present.
That is really cool. I like that too.
Yeah.
It gives a better, like, it helps the world... Both like legends and canon meld together a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. I'm not too sure about Disney because they got their own shit going on, but yeah, it's always nice to have a fandom perspective on things.
Yes, exactly.
But anyway, we already talked a little bit about the history of the Sith. Let's talk about the government itself. One of the more complicated aspects of any faction, if we're going to be completely honest.
Yep.
Yay,
bureaucracy.
Yay, bureaucracy. And the Sith Empire is a bunch of backstabbing murder hobos. Yep. But yeah, so officially the Sith Empire is organized as, quote, a majorocratic empire, which basically is the aspect that the force-using parts of the Empire are always the rulers. Or if you want to go by D&D perspective.
Mages,
yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, I was doing research on this. I'm like, is this what I think it is? And yes, it is what I thought it was.
I never thought that there was a word for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know about that either. So you learn something new every day.
Yeah.
There was a certain wiki entry on this very government in the Forgotten Realms wiki. And I will give you a nice little quote that actually does a good explanation of the Sith Empire in general. One thing I have noticed while traveling across the multiverse, a majorocracy, a government led by a magi, is rarely a good idea. Wizards, despite our superior intellectual acumen, are not the best at governing large numbers of people. We wizards can be good administrators, excellent bookkeepers, and advisors per excellence, and we pay exceptional attention to detail, at least the details that interest us. But we have proven time and time again not to be the most compassionate nor nurturing when it comes to caring for the masses.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You want to know who said this quote?
Who?
Mordenkainen.
I'm not surprised.
Mordenkainen. In lore, he is the most stubborn motherfucker ever, and he says that.
Yeah, it's just like, wizards aren't good rulers.
Yeah, exactly. What a motherfucking wizard? Mordenkainen, of all people, who's traveled the multiverse, says that. Yeah, you should probably listen to him.
Yeah. But that does... Yeah, it's basically the way the Sith Empire rules in a nutshell.
Yeah. And like, it says here multiple times, like, they're basically segregated between the Force-using Sith, I guess, and the non-Force-using populace, is like the humans and all that.
The Sith are basically the aristocracy.
Pretty much, and if you're born as a Force-sensitive, you're gonna be born within, what's the word I'm looking for?
Nobility.
There we go, nobility, so to speak.
Yeah, for a few years, and then your ass is shipped off to Dromund Kaas. Good luck!
Pretty much.
Or not Dromund Kaas, Korriban.
But yeah, as we, I think I mentioned this before, but pretty much the Dark Council serves as the,
they're basically parliament.
Yeah, they're pretty much the parliament. Pretty much like the Galactic Senate, because they hold both the executive and the legislative power all at once.
It's just not as widespread as the Galactic Senate.
Yeah, not as widespread. It's like, I think 10 spheres of influence?
I think so.
Yeah. It's been a while since I watched the Dark Council episode, so I'm a little bit rusty on that. But point is, it's just a small number of people running the government.
Yeah, but they're very powerful people.
Very true, but it's not like they're going to be in touch with the common populace of their empire.
Well, yes. True. But they are very, very powerful people.
That is true. That is very true. I'm not arguing that fact.
I mean, Asena was head of the Sphere of Technology before she became Empress.
That is true, yeah.
So she technically was helping the people
via
technology. And Vauron was the diplomatic service.
Yeah, that is... I'm not going to argue with that fact,
logistics.
Anna. Yeah, logistics. But, obviously, the Emperor is the leader of the Empire, but he's always off in his basement, so his say is...
Or off in another fucking galaxy.
Somewhere. He's always somewhere, Hannah. He's going off to give him milk. Multiple times, by the way.
Going off to get milk from the Sith, and then going off to get cigarettes from Z'Kul.
But yeah, and then below the Emperor is... Of course, the Dark Council. And below the Dark Council are one or three ministries, which are basically the founding pillars of a galactic empire.
Yeah, the Ministry of Intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Da-da-da-da.
Yeah, we'll cover those in a little bit. But among other organizations that report directly to the spheres are the Imperial Diplomatic Service and the Imperial Conquest Consolidation Corps. Which is a huge mouthful, if I'm going to be honest. when the Emperor was still around, there is kind of the go-between guys who are the hands of the Emperor, who are like his extensions of his will, so to speak.
Yeah.
These guys are the only motherfuckers that are in constant contact with the Emperor, and they embody his will. Like, they know all of his schemes. They know all of his plans. And they're kind of going back and forth in the Dark Council. And the Dark Council's like, okay, we're not going to mess with you guys.
Yeah, but they're also fucking crazy.
Yeah, they are pretty crazy, yeah.
Hell, when you get to the very, very last fight where you fight Valkorion's imprint mm-hmm. in your mind, the servants are there, or the Emperor's hand.
Yeah.
But they go by servants.
Of course they would.
Servant 1, 2, et cetera, et cetera.
Makes sense, yeah. You know, I'm not sure why I remember this specifically. I remember one of a servant's quotes was, "An empty hand is only capable of slapping."
Yes.
I thought that was so fucking funny. That's basically him saying, I could still bitch slap you.
Yeah, it's like, I might just be by myself, but I could still fuck you up.
I still think that's a funny quote when I was doing research on this. Anyway, go on, Hannah.
You made me lose my train
of
thought.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about Valoran and the Hands of the Emperor or something?
No, Valoran, technically he was working for the hand
uh-huh.
because when the Emperor's Wrath decides to defy, or to not defy, when the Emperor's Wrath actually becomes the Emperor's mm-hmm. Wrath, defying Barriss, who was trying to vie yep. to be the... like the mouth of the Emperor or something,
yeah.
You know, or the Emperor's voice.
The Emperor's voice, yeah, that's actually the title, yes.
Via blackmail, secrecy, and, you know, typical Sith shit.
Mm-hmm.
You work with Valoran and the Emperor's hand to basically expose all of his spies, get rid of them, and da-da-da-da, and then it culminates in you confronting Barriss.
Of course, yeah. I need to return to playing some of the more of the other campaigns of the other classes of Sator, in all honesty.
They're so good, dude.
They are so good. But yeah, I've been dealing with my own shit, but that's beside the point. But yeah, as you mentioned before, the Ministry of Intelligence is one of them. The other ministries are the Ministry of War and the Ministry of Logistics.
Yep.
So I'm going to go through them real quickly, just give a brief overview of their powers and all that. The Ministry of War was in charge, obviously, of all military elements in the Sith Empire and all that.
No shit.
Yeah, whippy freaking do. And then the head of this organization is the Minister of War. Then under him are the numerous Moths.
Yeah.
Which you could obviously see with the modern Galactic Empire with Moths, Grand Moths, so on and so forth.
Yeah, but a rank above that isn't that Grand Admiral?
So, okay. Grand Admiral, from what I could remember.
Or is that specifically Navy?
That's specifically Navy, because the Moths, they control entire sectors of space, while the Grand Admirals control fleets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just a little distinction between them.
Okay.
But anyway, there will be the Moths under them that maintain order and discipline. So they're basically serving as many rulers in the numerous territories of the Empire.
Yeah.
The ministry answered directly to the sphere of the defense of the Empire, military offense, and military strategy. So they got a lot of bosses to talk
yeah,
to.
They have three big bosses over like, them.
Okay, who should we go to first? That scary motherfucker? That scary motherfucker? Or that scary motherfucker?
Who's the one we're not going to piss off too much where we're not going to die?
Fortunately, I think I remember at one point Darth Maar occupied all three of them.
He was head of the Ministry of War.
Yeah.
Very deserved.
Very deserved, yes. And then the Ministry of Intelligence. What's in charge of providing... Well, you know where this is going.
It's the Empire's KGB.
Yeah, pretty much the Empire's KGB. And its largest organ is the Imperial Intelligence. Which serves as the Empire's covert intelligence, counterintelligence operations. Among the other organizations that are within the Ministry of Intelligence, there is the Outreach Bureau, which is responsible for distributing information and news to the citizens of the Empire. So basically propaganda.
And news.
Yeah, and the news outlets to make the Sith Empire look like the unsung heroes of the Empire and make the Republic look bad.
Yeah.
Among others, let's see, they report to the Sphere of Imperial Intelligence. So at least they have one boss to report to.
Yeah, sucks that it's one of the most feared.
Yeah, Jadis. That is the downside. Motherfucking Jadis, who's still a motherfucking badass, by the way.
Well, yeah, but wait until you play further through. Then you get stuck under, his daughter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can't remember her name either.
Not Hexed. It is on the tip of my tongue, but I've been on a KOTOR kick for a while, so I haven't been playing KOTOR as actively anymore.
The SWTOR expert is slipping a little bit over there.
Yeah, because I'm actually playing the first two games.
That is awesome to hear, though. But anyway, so
Jadis' daughter.
Yeah. Jadis' daughter, which doesn't last too long, if I remember correctly.
No, because not long after that, Imperial Intelligence is dismantled.
Yay.
The Sith are like, oh, we're just attacking Corellia. You just need to become a soldier.
Yeah.
The Imperial is like, bitch, what the fuck?
But anyway, so, and then the third ministry is the Ministry of Logistics, and it is responsible for the logistical oversight of all Imperial forces. And while they are known as basically the bottom of the totem pole of the free ministries, it is arguably their most vital ministry.
Because
these guys are handling all of the logistics, like industrial output on worlds they conquered, agriculture output from agricultural worlds, slave labor, crucial calculations for future battles and shit.
I mean, you experience this from, like, okay, Vauron is on Mekhsha, mm-hmm. which is a mining colony, but when the Empire is going to war over the Meridian complex back on Corellia.
Mm-hmm.
And Vauron shows up and is like, we need the Republic to refuel, but then we're going to attack them and blow up their ships.
Yeah.
Set the fuel on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So like that's the kind of logistics part of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Like motherfucking...
Like, you're trying to benefit your own empire to get the fuel, but you're also fucking over the Republic.
That is true. Like Napoleon Bonaparte once said, amateurs discuss military tactics. Experts discuss logistics.
Yeah.
That's a very nice way of describing the Ministry of Logistics. They might not be the most glamorous of all the ministries, but arguably, without these motherfuckers, the empire would fall apart.
Yes. Yes, they would. Like, we need resources, and we're the only ones who can get them.
Yeah, and on top of that, they run the civilian side of the Empire with public transit and all that stuff. Among the organizations working under the Ministry, there is the Imperial Citizenship Bureau, the Imperial Treasury Department, and simply Imperial Logistics. The Ministry of Logistics reports to the Sphere of Production and Logistics.
Vauron.
Though sometimes they would report to the Sphere of Defense of the Empire when it involves military matters.
Okay.
Like, it makes sense. I imagine them like the Homeland Security sort of thing.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. But yeah, we got the government shit out of the way a little bit. Let's talk about the civilian population of the Empire.
Lots of slaves,
yes.
Lots of slaves. Aliens and humans.
Yeah. Hey, at least they're not indiscriminate with that one.
True, but...
And I think, arguably, if you do start off as a Sith Inquisitor, you can be a Sith pureblood who entered into slavery.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
But it's based on, like, the not the text scroll, but the text in when you start mm-hmm. the story. You were a former, like, or at least an ancestor. You were a former lord, but your power base got dismantled, and you were sold into slavery.
Yeah, yeah.
that sucks.
Very unfortunate. As I mentioned before, the civilian population of the Empire is divided into both the Force-sensitive Sith and the non-Force-sensitive Sith, which are described as both worlds apart from each other, upper echelons are the Force-sensitives, and the non-Force-sensitives are the lower echelons. Despite this clear disconnect, however, citizens of the Empire are still quite loyal. Everybody still had a chance within the Empire, like becoming Imperial agents, becoming Moffs or Admirals, for example.
Or just going into the military.
Yeah. Arguably one of the most prestigious positions a non-Force-sensitive civilian of the Empire could achieve would be the Imperial Guard, the personal defenders of the Emperor himself.
Yeah, but also, the side effect of that is you go fucking nuts.
That is true, but gotta say, that's a very prestigious position for a normal-ass dude.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You meet several throughout the game.
Yeah, and just for a clarification for the members of the audience, the Imperial Guard is basically a copy and paste of
Emperor's.
Yeah, of Palpatine's Red Guards from the original movies.
I think I am collecting that armor on Swator
to
put on my Sith Warrior. I still need the tech fragments.
Yeah, I gotta say, the Imperial Guard armor is so motherfucking badass.
It's awesome.
It is so awesome. I like the little crest on the head and everything.
Cool little detail is that when you first enter Korriban as a Sith, the two guards in the hallway before you enter the main part of the academy, they kneel to you.
That is pretty badass, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, these motherfuckers are so prestigious and intimidating, not even members of a Dark Council want to fuck with them.
Yeah, I can see why.
I think they're all personally bonded to the Emperor, so that helps a little bit.
And they don't discriminate either.
Yeah.
Because on Belsavis, I think on the planet story arc, one of the Imperial Guards is a woman.
Yeah. Pretty badass.
I can't remember her name, though. I know. I just remember that she had Lacris's hair.
Okay. I know that. Okay, now you hooked me, Hannah. I need to know the identity of this woman. Anyway. But yeah, aside from going on from that little thing, the common citizen is driven by the belief that the Empire was righteous and saw the Republic as corrupt and bloated because of a differing mishmash of species and nations that kind of put their agendas before the goals of a Republic, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's like that classic mentality of patriotism and all that.
Patriotism?
Patriotism. Or
patriotism.
Patriotism. Patriotism, yeah.
Yes.
It's just that classic case that you always see with every other country.
Or, if you want to go even more extreme, chauvinist.
Yay!
Yay, chauvinism!
Yay! But, the citizens of the Empire are driven entirely by their ideology that the strong rule over the weak, and it was the job of the weak to serve the strong. So, very Darwinist mentality for the citizens of the Sith Empire.
Yeah, you can kind of see that in every, or not every military companion, but definitely in Malvi Quinn, when he interacts with the Sith Warrior, and kind of in Talos Drellic when he interacts with the Inquisitor.
Yeah.
Like, they acknowledge your power and, you know, show you the respect you deserve, but they also, you know, go with you willingly on these missions.
That is very true,
and join
yeah.
you willingly.
Yeah, they are very faithful servants, but they're also a bunch of boot kissers.
Well, at least Quinn is. Quinn
yeah,
definitely
Quinn.
For sure is. He's called male wife for a reason.
Goddamn. But yeah, like, they see the Empire as the only force in the galaxy that can impose peace, stability, and order. Where does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
This doesn't help that all citizens were very highly educated about the end of a great galactic war, where the Jedi and the Republic persecuted the citizens of the Empire, or the original Sith Empire, I should say. Yeah. So, it's understandable from their perspective it to is. Act this way, but on the other hand, they do live in an evil empire that...
But they don't know any better.
Yeah, they don't know any better. That is very true. Can't blame them, but once again, still evil.
Yes.
But, and one of the most obvious evil aspects of the Empire is good old slavery.
Yes.
It is obviously a very common place of the Empire, typically consisting of numerous alien races, and they are not considered true citizens of the Empire. They're basically property.
Insert Harkin, the Inquisitor's teacher. Slave.
Slave. But it's expected for each citizen of the Empire to treat every slave in the Empire as basically dirt, very harshly.
Yeah. There was a slave rebellion on Roman Kos.
Yeah.
And a statue, I think to Darth Vengeon, I think.
Makes sense.
Was going to get built, and they rebelled.
Yay! Revolution! Baba revolution!
Didn't really work out, though.
I think
it's still going on.
And a majority of these slaves are descendants of Twi'leks, Duros, and Zabrak, who were taken as slaves... Or their ancestors were taken as slaves during the Great Hyperspace War.
Yeah.
At one point in the Empire's history, you can never free a slave for whatever reason. Like, it's not allowed for a Sith Lord to free a slave. They will always be a slave. Even their motherfucking descendants will become slaves just because they were born into it.
Oof.
Yeah, like, you dishonor your family, you dishonor your cow, slave! But another way, a very common way, as you saw with the Sith Inquisitor line, is if they show potential force sensitivity, and they go up the ranks as a Sith Lord, then the slave would be freed.
Yeah. Literally breaking your chains.
Yeah, literally breaking your chains. I'm so glad you pointed that out for me, Hannah.
Hell, Mar points it out too.
Yeah. But despite this obvious anti-alien-centric disposition, there are certain individuals within the Empire that just kind of gloss over that fact, like Darth Mar and Darth Malgus, because they want to go by... your capability rather than your race or
yeah,
something like
it's
that.
Like, we don't care if you're an alien or whatever. We care if you're competent.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, it's kind of a nice little irony because even though humans have a higher standing than any other race within the Empire, they are still seen as a lesser race.
Yeah.
And they're kind of in a high standing because, number one, there is a whole lot of them, and they're very influential throughout the Star Wars universe, let's be honest about this.
Yeah.
And number two, the original Sith Lords or the Jedi Exiles that created the Sith Empire.
Were human.
Yep, they were human, so they kind of had a debt to rights right off the bat.
True, because the Dark Council doesn't consist of any alien members.
Yeah.
Until Asena.
Yeah, that is true, yeah.
Or wait, no, not even, because she has humans and purebloods.
Yeah, humans and purebloods. Yeah, that's true. There's no...
There are no other alien races in the Dark Council.
Yeah, that is true. Even with your position as the voice of the Emperor, which could potentially be any other race, you're not a member of the Dark Council anyway.
Well, the Emperor's wrath is, like, above the Council.
Yeah, that is true, yeah. But yeah.
Sith hierarchy is weird.
Sith hierarchy is a little bit weird. But yeah, that's pretty much all that I have on the Sith Empire. Any more thoughts that you want to impart on me, Hannah?
No, I don't think so. I mean, like, I remember, like, the bounty hunter story is a little different compared to, like the Imperial Agent, Sith Warrior, and Sith Inquisitor, because they're mainly focused on the Empire and the Sith.
Yeah.
But the Bounty Hunters are completely different. Mm-hmm. You're kind of associated with the Sith, but depending on what choices you make, you either go freelance or be a Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Which is so fucking cool.
It's always cool. Oh, yeah. I just remembered this nice little tad bit in the...
Also, it's just accepted. It's like, I'm just allies with the Sith. They pay me more.
Yeah, they're a very good client that pays me really
good,
handsomely.
They're good clients.
But no, this is kind of another story that I remember that just showcases how motherfucking dastardly the Imperial Intelligence is. It's part of that history series that I told you about. So there's this guy, there's this gladiator in the Geonosian arena, and eventually he gains renown, and he is pronounced the next leader of the Mandalorians during the Great Galactic War.
Wasn't he Mandalore the Lesser?
Mandalore the Lesser, yes. And it wasn't found out until later, this motherfucker was a puppet of Imperial Intelligence to basically get the Mandalorians to fight against the Republic.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a lot of Cold War style shit going on with the Imperial Intelligence. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
It's just that entire thing, because kind of speaking on an editing standpoint, there's like this one picture where it's just Mandalore the Lesser talking to a bunch of Mandalorian subordinates or whatever. Then it fades away and it shows them as Imperial spies that are, you know, giving them information and all that. And they are purposefully rigging the fight to make him look good. Hmm. And that's how they got their nice little puppet.
Yeah, intelligence is good at manipulating.
Absolutely.
Even with the agent, your first missions on Hutta, you need to lie, cheat, steal, and manipulate.
Yep.
And flirt.
That is very true. And I think there was a moment with, what was the name of a Cathar companion from the Republic trooper story?
Eric Jorgen.
Like, in the Eternal Empire storyline, he encounters you because you go on a mission with him and his squad.
Yeah.
If you're the Imperial Agent character, he's all like, well.
What the fuck are you?
He's all like, well, I've only heard stories. I can't believe the legends are actually true.
Yeah, he's like, I thought you were myth.
Yeah, I thought you were myth. That's how scary these motherfuckers are.
Yeah.
No, I do love the Republic and its numerous intricacies and corruption and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that's always fun to dive into. Fuck, I'm a prequel fan because of that. But
So am I.
Yeah, but the Sith Empire is interesting in its own regard.
I told you.
Like, as you said, it's got the fantasy element, it's got the Sith at the very top. Running everything, and of course we got Imperial.
But the Sith have their own society and hierarchy as well.
Yeah, they're kind of segregated from everybody else.
Think that's so cool, though.
Yeah, it is a little bit cool. It just reminds me of the samurai and all that.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, except the samurai are running the government, and they're not the protectors of the emperor or something. But no, I had a little bit of fun with this Sith Empire episode.
I'm glad you did. I had fun, too.
Yeah. But yeah, that is, okay, it's about 40 minutes, a little longer than I expected, but yeah, that is our episode of Can Mayonnaise Kill a Jedi? Oh yeah, also, my favorite love interest is in the Sith Empire.
How did you not say that earlier?
God damn it, that's another funny thing I remember with the other companion characters, nearly all Imperial characters speak in a British accent, but in can...
It's the Imperial accent.
It's called the Imperial accent. I've heard numerous other sources say it's a Dromund Kaas accent, which I think is kind of hilarious to think about, because eventually the Galactic Empire coincidentally has the Imperial accent as well.
Yeah. It is pretty funny.
It is pretty funny. I just love that little connection, real life, to Star Wars lore. But yeah,
I'm so shocked you didn't mention Lacris earlier.
I am so ashamed, Hannah. I went an entire hour without mentioning my favorite waifu of the entirety of Swtor. Well, I mean, you mentioned the hairstyle of one of the Imperial Guard women, but Motherfucking, I love Darth Lacris. The moment you meet her, she's just choking the fuck out of a governor.
Of Balmora.
Yeah, of Balmora. And it's if either, you let her...
You can either get her to stop,
yeah,
watch, or be passive.
It's all like, ooh, I'm just going to see how this goes.
She's immediately interested in you, like, okay, enjoy.
She's like, snap. Ah, I am Darth Lacris.
She's just beautiful character design, amazing voice. Lacris is bae.
I will always hate BioWare for killing off Lacris. God damn it. This is why Empress Lacris exists now, because of me.
Empress Lacris is CMKJ canon.
But yeah, that's my moment of simping about Darth Lacris. But yeah, that is our episode of Cam Mayonnaise Kill a Jedi. Or in this case, how much of us can we simp on individual characters?
Or Sith.
Yeah, individual Sith. That is very true. Mar, you know, that's a funny connection. We simp on Mar and his apprentice, Darth Lacris. Yep. But yeah, got any lingering thoughts, Hannah?
They're the Chad lineage.
The Chad lineage, goddamn. Okay, I gotta put that as the new, the Chad Lacris.
The Chad lineage.
But no, yeah, the moment of his recording, hopefully I'll get it up before then. It'll be Thanksgiving or right around when I upload this, so... Happy late Thanksgiving for everybody. Hope you're having a wonderful time with your family. And, well, if you're not American, just have a good, wonderful time.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. This is the way. May the Force be with you. And let the hate flow through you.
Indeed. Let the hate flow through you. Bye-bye.
Bye.